all well? The gang is all here tonight. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network brings to you live Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. I am your host, the Prophet Rick Craig, and like I said earlier, the gang is here. Sean the Blitz Forester, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing good.
And the Bowmeister himself is also with us, Bo Johnson. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine this evening.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. We're going to get started here in just a moment. Before we do, not for crying out loud, Sean. Yes, everyone, Sean Blitz Forester is here. Jeez Louise. All right, now let's see if we can get this show started properly now. Oh, for crying out loud, Bo. All right, now that you guys have gotten your entrance themes out of the way, I'm not even going to do one for myself tonight. You know, I don't need that kind of pomp and circumstance going on for the old prophet. All right, Blog Talk Radio Network with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Network is bringing us live tonight. You can find them at www.blogtalkradio.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can also find them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. You can also find them on the web, www.ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. And as Bully Ray says, the old tweeter, at PW Powerhouse. We are also Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. We are also on Facebook as well at www.Facebook.com/ProWrestlingObsession. Tonight, we have the big crush, Barrington Hughes, a Southern Florida independent star. He's going to be joining us in the last half hour of the show tonight. He has a match tonight, guys. He's wrestling tonight, and he's going to join us after his match is over. So we'll be ready to talk to the big crush here in a little while. Before we get started talking about Barrington Hughes, let's get to an old classic of the Prophet, the Think Tank. Your favorite topic and mine, favorite segment. Blitz loves the Think Tank. He was a master of the Think Tank. Bo, are you ready for Think Tank tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm ready for it.
Blitz, are you sure you're ready for it tonight? Because believe me, you need to be ready for this one.
I'm ready.
And we have a special guest joining us this evening, none other than the Mojo herself. Ashley Farmer, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
All right. Are you ready for Think Tank, Ash?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
All right. Let's rock on. Today's Think Tank. Let's say that again as fast as we can. Think Tank topic for this evening. What do you guys think of wrestlers who perform past their prime? Now, the reason this is being brought up, Blitz, why don't you tell us the reason this is being brought up?
I was reading the wrestling news, and as it turns out, on May 25th, Jerry the King Lawler will be returning to the ring from his heart attack, teaming with 72-year-old Dory Funk Jr. against two of his students for the Bang TV wrestling promotion.
And that's Dory's promotion, right?
Right.
Okay, so the question is posed, what do we think of people who perform past their prime? And the second part of the question is, do you think it tarnishes their legacy? Ashley, you're first.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think, you know, with Jerry Lawler, his heart attack, you know, that kind of, and personally for me, that kind of scared me since it was live on Raw. But I don't think it's safe for him to go back in the ring at this time, you know, especially with that heart attack that just happened. But that's just me.
What about Dory? He's 72. That's, what, 15 years older than Lawler or something like that?
Well, Dory Funk is a legend, and, you know, him and Terry have been in this business for quite some time. I actually just saw a match with Terry on All Japan Pro Wrestling. It was him and Abdul the Butcher. And as
talking about oldies and goodies.
He still got it, you know. He actually kind of destroyed a young Japanese guy in a hardcore match. So as old as Dory is, you know, anything can happen. But, you know, Dory and Terry, they still got it. So, you know.
Okay. Bo?
See, the one thing that I'm really interested in, I mean, yeah, we've got this announcement with Jerry Lawler going, you know, back into the ring. And I can't remember, was it a tag match?
Yes.
Okay. I wonder how much, because especially since he's wrestling with the much older Dory Funk Jr., is that I wonder if they're going to protect Lawler in any way. Because I'm not sure if he's been cleared for the ring yet or what have you. I haven't seen anything about that.
Well, that's a very valid point to make, yes.
Yeah, so I'm just curious to see what's how the match is going to go down. As for legends stepping back into the ring well past their prime, even people who aren't legends, it does kind of tarnish the legacy a little bit, but it depends on how they're used.
Agreed. We'll get to that second part here in just a second. Let me get my collective sigh in now because I'm awaiting the bombardment of Sean the Blitz Forrester, or should I call him Dr. Forrester, MD. Dr. Forrester, can you please give us your take on wrestlers past their prime getting in the ring?
Much like Bo, it depends on how they're used. But in the case of Lawler, I'm surprised WWE is even allowing Lawler to get in the ring. That's my big thing. I mean, Dory Funk Jr., that's his promotion. Nobody can tell him what to do.
Well, that's very true. And the thing that brings this topic really to light is Jerry Lawler has, as far as I know, since he's been in the WWE, has always taken side wrestling projects in the independents and still wrestled. Is that something that's in his contract that he's allowed to do? Is this something that could potentially void his contract if he gets hurt and suffers another heart attack or something in the ring again? I mean, that really leaves a lot of questions to be answered in regards to how the WWE feels about this, because I'm sure they're not too thrilled with this situation.
Probably not. And I'm willing to bet there is something in the contract that lets him do these side projects.
Well, there has, because he's been doing them for years. I mean, he goes to Memphis
right.
And wrestles all the time still. So from a medical perspective, panel, what's your thought topics on aging wrestlers getting in the ring to perform? And I'm not talking about the, you know, little side shows and stuff they do with people making cameos inside the ring and not really getting overly physical. I'm talking about an all-out match. Regardless of how long the match is, do you think there should be an age limit, or does it depend on the person, or what's your feelings on that, Mojo?
I actually think it can go both ways. You know, for example, Hulk Hogan. I don't know what his issue is. You know, I've been a fan of him for years, but you know, as you guys may have heard, he's trying to get back into the World Heavyweight title picture with Impact Wrestling. And, you know, I respect Hogan. I respect everything he's done for this business. But there's just a certain time where you have to just sit back and pass the torch to these young guys. Like, Bubba Ray, he's doing his thing. He's like, I'm not a fan of heels, but I actually like his character and Impact, you know. Sting is Sting. I kind of feel the same way about him as I do with Hogan. You know, let these guys, these young guys that are still in this business, pass them the torch, you know, let them have some fun, you don't always have to be in the title picture in the main event, you know. Your guys like AJ Styles, Kazarian, all of those guys, the TNA Originals, you know, and they're in the mid-card and stuff like that because these guys, these legends are going to try to steal the spotlight. And, you know, I know they're legends and they paved the way, but there has to be an ending, you know. There really does. That's how I see it.
All right, Ashley. Now, you mentioned Hulk Hogan, which is one of my examples, and the Nature Boy Ric Flair would be another prominent example. Are they tarnishing their legacy by continuing to go on and on when they obviously cannot compete at a level that fans are accustomed to seeing them at?
Yeah, I actually think so. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, say Hogan is selfish when it comes to being in the spotlight, but, you know, a guy like him still trying to enter the title picture at his age and all these back surgeries he's had, you know, that's dangerous. Like, what if he's facing a guy for that TNA title, if he wins the TNA title, and he falls off the turnbuckle and is paralyzed? Like, what will they do then? A perfect example, this luchador, this guy named Pentagon, the original Pentagon, he was in a match, and he was trying to do a moonsault, but his back gave out on him, and it turns out he messed up two of his vertebrae, and he got paralyzed, so he had to retire. So what if that happened to Hogan? Like, how would TNA explain that? You know, you gotta make sure these guys are okay for them to compete. You just can't say, oh, Hogan wants a title shot, let's give it to him. You know, you got to make sure he's ready for stuff like that because you never know what happens in the wrestling business. So
exactly. Bo, what's your thoughts on tarnishing legacies? You kind of briefly touched on it, but let's get more in depth.
I mean, it really depends on, A, the legacy. I mean, like Mojo was touching on with Hogan, you know, he's tarnished that already, but besides, that's the point. I'm thinking back to this past year with 2012 King of Trios, when Chikara brought in all sorts of legends from, they brought in Tito Santana, they brought in...
who just turned 60 years old today, by the way.
Anyway, but they brought them in, and they used them to a capacity where, yeah, they had their big, you know, legends matches the first night or whatever. And then they kind of backed off on, you know, featuring them, which is nice. One thing I do like about Chikara is that when they do bring in the legends, they don't tarnish their legacy. They'll bring them in as a spotlight, you know, like for a match or whatever. And that, you know, I can, you know, see something like that, you know, with these legends going in, like, one or two times for a promotion or whatever, do a match, you know, maybe put over their, you know, their younger talent in the promotion and then, you know, be done with it and call it good. But, you know, these guys, the older guys who hate coming back and, you know, try to do stuff instead of, you know, limiting themselves, yeah, it tarnishes it a little bit.
Blitz Forrester, you've been very vocal about Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair's attempts back in the ring. Why don't you enlighten the rest of the wrestling world?
Pure and simple, neither one of them have any business being in a ring, especially not Hogan.
And Flair does?
Flair doesn't have any business being in there either. Under the case that every time he's in the ring lately, every time he got in the ring, except for that time with The Miz, he winds up bleeding. I don't know why he has to do it. Something to prove?
It's one of his calling cards.
No need.
It's one of his calling cards.
But sometimes you have to put the calling card away for the sake of your health.
So, Dr. Blitz, do you feel there should be a mandated age where these men and women can no longer compete in the squared circle?
Yes and no.
Hurry up, because you're running out of time here. I've got to have some time to answer this myself.
Well, for me, I do think that at some point, you know, it's 65, 70 years old, yeah, you don't need to be in the ring anymore. But as far as before that, before retirement age, it's all down to the wrestler. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Vader get in the ring. If he's still in shape, I don't see why he can't get in the ring. But there's just, but someone like Sergeant Slaughter, not the last couple times he was on TV, he didn't look like he was in very good shape.
All right, here's my take on it. And the people who've known me long enough, and you three definitely are among those who have known me long enough, should know where I stand on this. Number one, none of us are doctors. Who are we to tell anybody they can't go out and earn a living and tell them that they're not in shape to do something when we have no medical reason to be able to diagnose that? That's my take on it. Now, does that mean they're being used properly? Does that mean their legacies are being tarnished? Yeah, their legacies are being tarnished. I mean, Hulk Hogan, every time he steps back into a ring, just because he is incapable of carrying on a quality match, tarnishes him. Not that he was a great technician anyway. I mean, the people who really know him know that he can wrestle a match. In Japan, that's what he did. Here, it's a different style and a different means of the way they want to use him in the ring. But knowing that, Hulk Hogan doesn't have a business being in the ring because he can't carry on a quality match. Ric Flair, I'm almost feeling the same way. He's got to the point now where his work rate has slipped substantially. So that's my gist on it. I don't want to disqualify anybody from getting in the ring if they can bring it. Sting is a perfect example. Yes, Sting is in his early 50s, but Sting can still wrestle. He can still put on a quality match. He can still get the job done. He's not winded after 10 seconds. He doesn't look lethargic in the ring and look like an aging pile of bones that's about to fall at any second. He can still bring it. Who are we to tell Sting, dude, you're 53 years old or whatever he is, you can't be in there? You know, we can't. It's all a matter of how these people are being used. I mean, I still will stand in my grave saying that Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair do have a place in this business. As authority figures, as managers, what have you, yes. They need to find their right role. They still have a drawing power. They still have a name. I still think they can be used if they're used properly. Now, Mojo brought up this Hulk Hogan and the TNA title. I don't know how valid that is. I've heard it. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Who knows? Dixie Carter may be the one who's brought this all up. I sincerely hope for TNA's sake that Hogan takes a look at that and says, you know what, people, that's not the right decision to do. They can bank on Hulk Hogan's name. He's still a bigger name in the wrestling business. He still has name in Hollywood. So they can still bank on him a little bit, but it has to be in a different role this time. So that's my take on Think Tank for tonight. Let's move ourselves over now to WWE Talk. Bo Johnson, what topic in WWE do we want to start off discussing this week?
How about we talk about the impact of Dolph Ziggler's concussion?
Yes, that's hitting the internet big time right now. So let's get started on it. What's your take? Some people say it's storyline. Some people say it's the real deal. What are you seeing?
When I first saw, the whole, announcement that he had suffered a concussion, I thought it was storyline. But after, and I haven't seen SmackDown because it's currently airing. Half of it's actually airing now. In my neck of the woods. So I don't know how this actually happened, and I haven't seen any, early footage of it from, an international release. But I have, I have some, inkling that this is an actual injury, and it's going, with it being so close, I mean, we're 9 days away from Extreme Rules as it is, it's going to kind of throw a wrench into plans unless he's able to pass his impact test.
Correct. The things I've been seeing so far, Bo, and again, I'm not passing this off as being valid or legit, is that Bo interfered in Big E Langston's match, and I don't know anything of the results. I'm not spoiling any matches because I don't even know what happened, and I don't like to spoil matches. But all I know is he interfered in Big E's match somehow and got injured. When Yahoo and other big, you know, big news agencies and things pick up, you know, a wrestling story, it tends to be more on the real side. Sean?
I can't speak one way or the other, because, I mean, it is possible with WWE and Yahoo having a partnership that it could be storyline, but I'm leaning more towards a real myself.
How about you, Mojo? What are you thinking?
It might actually be real, you know. Surprisingly enough, I'm surprised this isn't a storyline, because you guys know that Dolph Ziggler is one of the best sellers for moves in the WWE. So, you know, if it just so happens to be real, then I wish him well, and I hope he gets back in the ring soon, because, you know, he's also one of those heels that I actually like, you know, because he's had that briefcase for God knows how long. So I know for a fact, me speaking, I was happy as I don't know what when he finally won the title, you know. So
mm-hmm.
Hopefully he gets back in that ring sometime soon.
Agreed. Dolph Ziggler is one of the most underrated talents out there. I hate bringing up this subject, but I want to talk about John Cena for a second. And I know, Sean, you've seen enough, right, Sean?
Right.
Mike, this is what I want to get answered, I guess, at this time. Last week, not this Raw that we just watched, but the previous one when John came out with the Make-A-Wish Foundation and all that stuff and brought out the kids and blah, 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 blah. Do you guys feel that was done intentionally to get John back in the graces of being a goody boy and being a good guy and have him get cheered again? Or do you think it was just a legitimate moment, or do we feel that it was that WWF was doing everything in their power to start getting John seen as a face, but I mean as far as the WWE universe backing him again? Bo Johnson.
I see it, you know, as a legitimate, you know, moment. John Cena is, you know, WWE's face in terms of Make-A-Wish. You know, over 300 wishes granted. You know, probably the biggest significant chunk of the, 5,000 they announced
right
that night.
But Bo, are they bringing all this out into the light to get everybody behind him again, to make him stay the face, to keep him from being booed, to keep him as the cash cow that's bringing in all the money and not let his merchandise sales slip, blah, blah, blah? You think it was legit?
In terms of keeping Cena, you know, from being booed, that's not going to happen. And if they really were on that track, if they wanted to, you know, push Cena again as, you know, the very sympathetic person or whatever, they would kept, you know, on this. I mean, yeah, they bring it up every so often when he, you know, like his 300th wish, Make-A-Wish Day. But in the long, you know, the big scheme of things, they don't continue to push it on us, which I think, you know, if they wanted to do this whole, you know, cheer for Cena thing, they would keep pushing it.
Ashley.
Yes, sir.
What's your thoughts on the Cena and that situation? Do you feel that WWE is intentionally bringing his good stuff to nature? I mean, it's hard to boo somebody, and there wasn't any. How can you boo somebody when you got three little kids who are sick standing on your stage? You know, do you think they pulled the strings just a little bit?
I think it was really sincere, to be honest. But like you said, you know, with three little sick kids and John Cena with them, you really can't boo them, because that'd be kind of rude. But, you know, like Bo said, he is the face of WWE through Make-A-Wish. But as far as my liking for Cena, like, I respect him for doing Make-A-Wish. Like, I saw the episode of Today's Show and he surprised the little kid, let him pull the title. I respect Cena for that, but as far as, like, being the actual face of the sports entertainment company known as WWE, I think he needs to let somebody else have that limelight. Like, it was good at first when he first entered the title picture, but then, you know, me being the, I guess you could say, wrestling smart that I am, you know, I get tired of seeing the same person as the face all the time. Like,
but that's not him, Ashley. That's WWE. He does what he's told. They're going to milk every penny out of anybody they can as long as they can. Hence why The Undertaker is still going to this day, you know, regardless it's just a few dates a year. But I'm sure he would have hung it up a long time ago if he could. Blitz Forrester, what are you thinking, bro?
I'm thinking, you know, Mojo, quite honestly, I am rude enough to still boo Cena. But not Cena the person, Cena the character. I will still boo
exactly.
Him. I will still boo him the second he comes out for a match. In fact, I used his WrestleMania 25 match as a bathroom break. But back to the Make-A-Wish thing. It is legit. I do believe it's legitimate. Cena's Make-A-Wish is legitimate. But I believe WWE is perverting it for their game. Milking the cash cow. With that said, I'm sure Cena is one of those that needs time off. Badly. Why is Punk getting it and not him? Nobody knows.
I tell you what, as much as it hates me to bring up a John Cena topic in this group, it hates and pains me even more to agree with Sean Blitz Forrester. You know what, guys? I'm with Sean on this. And I'm with you guys, too, that it is a legitimate moment. I mean, John Cena was up there. He meant everything he said. He does all these things, you know, behind the scenes that I don't think he really personally cares if he gets credit for it or not. I honestly believe WWE exploited it with intentions of showing what a good guy John Cena is. Quit booing this guy. He's a wonderful dude. Now, do I think it's going to work? No, I don't. I think people are still going to boo the character John Cena, but I think most of us in the world are smart enough to realize John Cena the person from John Cena the character, and we can separate the two. Right?
Right.
Yep.
All right. Sean?
Yo.
Did you eat your Wheaties this morning?
You better believe it.
Okay. Callers, our phone number is 760-888-5749. Let me say it again, 760-888-5749, because right now it is time to get blitzed. Sean Blitz Forrester, the defending, reigning trivia champion of PWO, is ready to once again put his title on the line against a worthy adversary. Now, this week on Pro Wrestling Obsession, we had a couple people step up to the plate wanting to take a shot at you, Blitz, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're going to give a couple seconds here for our initial person to see if they were man enough to show up to take this challenge, Sean. If not, then our runner-up person who was ready to take you on is already on the show, and that is Ashley Mojo Farmer. So, this person's got roughly another 30 seconds to call in to get himself on the air to take on Sean the Blitz Force. Uh-oh. Hang on, peeps. Let me get the phone. Area code 347, who am I talking to?
This is Nick. This is the big challenger, I guess.
Nick Songs, is that who I've got?
Yeah, that's what the people call me.
All right, Nick. Blitz, it looks like he is here and available to take the challenge. I guess before we get started with this match, do we have any trash talking that needs to be gotten out of the way before we begin? Nick, you are the one who's challenging Sean. What do you got to say? Well, you got 15 seconds on the mic.
Trash talking. I want to trash talking. I'll plug. Listen to WNAP Podcast Unknown, where we do wrestling trivia. That's probably not as intense as this.
Okay. Blitz, what do you got to say for your challenger? All right. Ashley, you'll have to wait till next week, but you can still hang on and talk with us tonight, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. This is how the trivia goes for Get Blitzed. We have 10 questions, obviously. Whoever gets the most questions correct will be the champion. Sean is the champion, but we'll see if he can defend that title. Nick, if you know the answer to it, if you'll kindly just say Nick. Sean, if you know the answer, obviously I call out Blitz. Whoever calls out first, I will call on you. Please wait till I call on you and give the answer to the question. Any questions on the questions?
No.
Ready to go, Nick?
Yep.
Blitz, are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Question number one. Who was the winner of the first match on the first ever episode of WCW Thunder in 1998?
Nick.
Nick, what do you got?
It was Jushin Thunder Liger.
That's not correct, Sean.
It was gentleman Chris Adams.
And you're both incorrect. The answer to this is the Macho Man himself, Randy Savage.
After match decision reverse.
So, question number two. We'll talk about today's birthday boy. Who did the birthday boy himself, Tito Santana, and Ivan Putski defeat for the WWF World Tag Team titles in 1979?
Blitz,
what do you got?
Johnny and Jerry Valiant.
The Valiant Brothers is correct, are correct, I guess. Blitz has taken a 1-0 lead. Question number three. What was the name of Kevin Sullivan's devil-worshipping faction in Florida? Come on, Nick. You got
Blitz.
It?
Blitz. Yep.
What do you got?
The Blitz says the Army of Darkness.
And it is now a 2-0 Blitz lead. As we go into question number four, we're not hearing a whole lot from Nick over here. Nick, are you sure you're ready?
Yeah, you should have given me some Bruce Campbell hints or something. I probably have gotten it then.
All right, question.
I just had Dungeon of Doom on the brain, sorry.
All right, come on. Here we go. Let's get yourself fired up in the brain here, Nick. You ready to roll? 2-0 is not insurmountable, so here we go. Who was the number one entrant in the first ever Royal Rumble match in 1988?
Blitz.
Yes.
It was Bret the Hitman Hart.
And it makes it a 3-0 lead for the defending champion, Blitz Forrester. We go to question number five. Who did Kid Cash defeat to capture the WWE Cruiserweight title in 2005?
Nick. I think it was probably wrong. Psychosis?
That's not correct.
Blitz.
Sean, we got?
Juventud Guerrera.
That is a 4-0 lead for Sean Blitz Forrester. The man is on fire.
Who's and may stop I say that's one of my favorite wrestlers ever, so yes.
Yes, it was. I knew you knew that, didn't you, Mojo?
Yes, I did.
All right, question number six. Let's get Nick back in the game here. Come on, Nick. Who was the Bunkhouse Stampede match, excuse me, who won the Bunkhouse Stampede match at NWA Starrcade in 1988?
Nick.
Yes.
Was it Lex Luger?
Not correct.
Blitz.
Yes.
It was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
That's not correct either. The correct answer is JYD, the Junkyard Dog.
Ah.
All right. Nick, you've got to get these next four questions correct just to tie the Blitz. Okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. What grizzled veteran wrestler was known in the real world as Bruce Allen Wayan?
Can you repeat that? Sorry.
Yes. What grizzled veteran wrestler was known in the real world, his real name, as Bruce Allen Wayan?
Drawing a major blank.
Sean? Nobody?
I'm drawing a blank.
You got
here.
It. Call your name when you got it.
Oh, Blitz.
Yes, Blitz.
Can't believe I didn't get this sooner. Was it Buzz Sawyer?
Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer is correct. How many times did Mike Rotunda, regardless of his gimmick, win the WWE tag team titles?
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Just two times.
That is not correct, Nick.
All right,
Blitz.
I'm done.
You're not done. You got two more. Blitz, what do you got?
Five.
Correct. And I promise you, Wrestling World, Sean has not seen these questions beforehand. I refuse to let him see them beforehand. I want him to lose. Which WWF wrestler performed with a prosthetic?
Blitz.
I actually know this one, too.
Blitz, what's the answer?
Well, there were two. You said WWF?
Yes, sir.
Harry Von Erich.
Seven. And the final question of the evening, the WWF tag team titles, the WWF tag team Rhythm and Blues, consisting of the Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine, had a female acquaintance that accompanied them to many of their matches and even sang backup during their in-ring performances. What was her name?
Nick.
Yes, Nick.
Was it, is it Peggy Sue or Betty Lou?
Nick is on the board. Yes. Yes.
Of course.
Yes.
Most useless question ever.
Oh, Nick, you nailed the last question. You nailed it.
Better late than never, I guess.
That's right. Better late than never, and you're a great sport, and we appreciate you coming on. I hope you'll be ready for a rematch here in another couple weeks.
Yeah, I'll have to read up on some actual trivia instead of watching watching Shockmaster clips all the time.
All right, no disses at Fred Ottman. He's a cool dude. Nick, thank you very much, brother. We'll talk to you next round, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys.
See you, bud.
Bye.
All right. Bo, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't know what we should be going for more. Blitz going or preventing Blitz from doing a shutout or Blitz losing at this point. That's the second one where he's almost gotten the perfect game.
I tell you what, Mojo, were you impressed with the champion?
I was.
Are you afraid of the champion? Because guess who's going up against him next week?
I'm not afraid. I mean,
no.
I actually knew most of those questions, so I was like, oh, man, you know.
Are you hearing that, Blitz? She says she knew most of these questions.
I don't doubt it.
Okay. Mojo, what do you want to say for the champion? You're going up against him next week, then. What do you got to say to him? Talk your smack.
I always love a little teacher versus student competition, so let's see if I've learned from the master himself.
Blitz, what do you have to say about your underling?
I taught you everything you know. I didn't teach you everything I know.
Oh, goodness gracious. You know what? We got a little extra time here. We got done pretty quick with this. Let's get back to some more WWE topics. Mojo, what do you want to talk about with the World Wrestling Entertainment?
Okay. Let's talk about, well, I know he's not WWE anymore, but John Morrison. Now, do you guys think he's actually going to come back in, or do you think he's going to stay out because Melina's not in WWE? What do you guys think?
John?
For me, I don't care either way whether he's in or out. And I don't think
she didn't ask you whether you cared or not, Blitz. She asked you whether you think he's still going to make a return. Your personal disdain for these people aside, what's your answer?
I hope that he comes in without Melina for the simple reason that her reputation backstage really dragged him down. I just hope he can get past that and do well.
Bo Meister, what's your feelings on Joe Mo returning?
I think he'll come back when he's good and ready to. I mean, they might have teased something a little bit with the interview that they did with him on WWE.com
mm-hmm.
a few days ago, but other than that, that might just have been, you know, hey, let's talk for a minute. And when, you know, when he's ready to come back to the big leagues, if he ever decides to come back, you know, it's his call.
Yep. You know, my from what I understand about the situation with John Morrison is he left due to burnout. He is very, very happy traveling the world and doing his own thing with various independent promotions. You see his name pop up occasionally. You know, throughout, he's been doing a lot of work over in Japan, and not Japan, over in one of the, which country was it, Bo, do you remember? Was it Singapore?
I think
somewhere?
Was it United Kingdom, too, or?
Yeah, he's been over there, too, but I thought he was in Singapore or somewhere like that where he's been wrestling for championships and things. He's happy doing that.
Oh, you know what?
I think he likes, it might have been Philippines. He loves what he's doing right now. So, according to what I've heard from our friends on Oh You Didn't Know Radio, who happens to join in occasionally on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse show itself, they talked to John Morrison. He didn't seem to be in any big hurry whatsoever to go back to the big time. Not saying that that won't happen because he's still on very good terms with them. So, that's what we know.
I'm really glad that thing with Trish Stratus didn't have him, you know, in the doghouse because she's one of those people that are up there, you know, as considered a legend. She's a Hall of Famer now, so I'm really glad they didn't push him down. So.
And we don't know the full facts of that either, so, I mean, it's hard to speculate on stuff like that anyway. Blitz, WWE topics, what do you want to talk about? Dead air. I love dead air. It just makes the ratings go up so much. Certainly you want to talk about something. Certainly there's a facepalm moment or something recently that has you chomping at the bit to discuss. Or
no, actually,
nothing at all?
I want to talk about a positive.
All right, let's do that then.
And that is the evolution, so to speak, of Antonio Cesaro.
Or the de-evolution of Antonio Cesaro?
No. This past Monday on Raw.
Yes. Right, do talk about it. What's going on?
He came out. He was all business. None of that yodeling. This destroyed Zack Ryder, which is always a treat to watch for me. And proceeded to cut a promo after the match, saying that nobody could hold a candle to him. So I'm hoping that this will be a new and improved Cesaro. They'll put him back in line to get back on track, I hope.
But you were pretty happy with the old Cesaro.
Not the yodeling.
Not the yodeling. And you also said he was, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, but did you not also say that you saw Cesaro turning face?
Yes.
Okay, obviously that's not happening.
Which is kind of sad, actually.
Why?
Because
do you really want that yodeling face? Is that what you're calling for?
No.
Explain yourself, Blitz.
Cesaro can be a face without yodeling. And with a small tweak to the American gimmick he was using, he could be the perfect foil for one Jack Swagger. While a few there would not be the best in terms of promos, it would definitely be one of the best in-ring feuds.
Mojo, what are you thinking about this malarkey that the Blitz is dropping on us?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out when are they going to get Chris Hero and Antonio Cesaro reunited?
You must mean Cassius Ohno. That's who you mean, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Chris Hero.
Well, besides that point, what is your take on what Sean Blitz Forrester has just said?
I think he would make, minus the yodeling, because yodeling was kind of annoying. Like, when he was doing that, I changed the channel. So, I think he would kind of be a good counteract for Jack Swagger, especially with his We the People gimmick, you know, because Antonio Cesaro, he's a very amazing wrestler, very strong wrestler, you know, the neutralizer on the Great Khali pretty much explains that. I think he could pretty much, maybe even, who knows, out-wrestle Jack Swagger if they were ever getting a feud. So let's see how that goes.
Bowmeister.
See, I like this no-nonsense Antonio Cesaro. It kind of brings me back to his whole gimmick with the BDK, which is kind of what I wanted to see out of him, this little, not quite arrogant. I mean, obviously, all foreign heels can tend to be arrogant in the WWE, but kind of this no-nonsense, you know, destroyer. You know what? I've seen, you know, some of his matches from back in 2010 under the BDK gimmick, and he was just an absolute beast. And what we've seen lately since dropping the title, I mean, that, I don't know how many of us have watched Main Event, or was it 2 weeks ago? Last week, something like that, where it was Cesaro and Kingston.
Right.
Where he pulled off that suplex from the middle rope with Kingston.
Yeah, wasn't that awesome?
That's pure strength right there. And so, I mean, assuming the WWE keeps him on this push now, I could see him being, you know, back in the title hunt for U.S. title or even up in the world title should things happen to change around here.
It was really interesting, at least for me, to see how quickly the push for Cesaro had dropped. And we talked last week about Kofi Kingston transitioning, being a transition champion, blah, blah, blah. Is this something where Cesaro is going to get this belt right back? Anybody?
I don't see it that way. I mean, I can see, you know, like one or two losses. I mean, you know, like if the next, you know, should they do one at Extreme Rules or whatever, I can see him losing that one and then maybe picking it up again, you know, like the next pay-per-view or something.
So he's you think he's still in line for the U.S. belt? He's not moving on to different challenges? You think Kingston's still the one? And he is the one that he's going to win the belt from?
I think so for the moment. I mean, if you look at the bigger title scenes, they're kind of full at the moment.
Well, like I said, I was really surprised at how far he had fallen so quickly. You know, he started this yodeling stuff, and I don't know what they were trying to do with him. It's almost like they were trying to make him a comedic wrestler like a Daniel Bryan, which is, whether we like to admit it or not, it's what he's become, as fantastic as he is, you know. But I don't know. That yodeling thing was horrific. I don't see a face turn in Cesaro even then, because that was just annoying. I mean, people don't get behind annoying things. They get behind things that are, you know, cool. And Yodeling is not.
He can get himself over as the third member of Los Ice Creams, as Very Mysterious Ice Cream. He could have probably gotten the Yodeling gimmick over should he have got a little more practice at it.
Don't remind me. Oh, good grief, you guys are crazy.
Yes, we are.
What other topics of WWE do we want to discuss before we move on?
Actually, I do have one. You know,
okay.
I don't know if you guys heard about this, but, you know, according to, I think it was WrestleZone, you know, Triple H is trying to get a lot more luchadors, per se, like Sin Cara, into the WWE business. Now, I've already heard that, you know, a good person, one of my favorite wrestlers as well, Samurai Del Sol, he's
right.
Going through medical testing and stuff like that. But who else do you guys see, you know, if you guys watch Lucha Libre, who else do you see possibly getting a chance to be in WWE?
Well, I tell you what, before my esteemed co-host take a shot at this, Triple H was asked on Twitter when the WWE Network was going to come, and he said it was still coming soon. The launch of this network, they had been discussing for now 2 years of having a cruiserweight type of division in it, so... You know, with the TNA lawsuit now being wrapped up, you know, people that have been dropped from TNA's X division, blah, 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 could still be in line for possibly doing that. What are you thinking, Sean?
I'm sorry. I am still amused at the idea of the WWE Network coming. Quite honestly, I see the WWE Network being the 2013 version of the XFL.
So if it did, let's just drop the network for now. Let's answer Ashley's question. She said a cruiserweight division. Who would be in there? Obviously, Pac, Adrian Neville would be called up.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'd be making a call to Japan and getting Prince David in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you guys are speaking my mind. Yes.
Yep.
I wouldn't mind seeing Ricochet.
Yeah, Ricochet would be awesome in this division as well.
In fact, I think... I mean, I don't know how the bracket's set up for Best of the Super Juniors, but I think both those names have been announced, and I'm sure we'll see them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and first side note, actually, Pac and Prince David actually had a Best of Super J Cup tournament match. If it was not last year, the year before that, and that match was pretty amazing. I would have thrown money at it, so, you know, it was something. They have potential.
Ashley, you would throw money at any luchador match.
True.
All right. Now we got that out of the way. Phone number 760-888-5749. We're taking any callers that want to discuss the topics we're bringing to the table as well tonight. We do have the big crush himself, Barrington Hughes, that will be joining us here hopefully later in the show in the last half hour. He has a match tonight. He said he was going to join us after he's done. Hopefully we'll hear from him shortly. But like I said, while we're on topics, you have an opinion, you want to disagree with Blitz, you want to disagree with Bo, you want to disagree with Mojo, you want to agree with the Prophet, by all means, I'm going to let you. And that phone number at 760-888, don't interrupt me, Sean, 5749.
Or disagree with the Prophet and agree with the Blitz.
All right, what other luchadors do we think could be brought in? Does it have to be luchadors? I mean, you said, Ashley, did you say luchadors, or did you say it was just a cruiserweight division?
Luchadors, but cruiserweights can come in as well. You know, they both know what to do in the ring.
Okay. Because our the guest last week, I wouldn't mind seeing the Crisp Brothers in there. I think they could absolutely hold their own in that kind of a division.
Of course, yes.
All right, anything else on that, on the topic of WWE? Blitz, anything else for that before we jump?
No, I'm good.
What about you, Beaumeister?
I've got nothing else.
Okay. Well, at this time, then, why don't we take a journey? Let's go back into the past, the yesteryear of wrestling and the days gone by. It's time to go back in time, where Sean and Bo collaborate together to discuss events that happened this week many moons ago. Who's going to start off?
All right, let me re-pull up my data here. Bo, you start her off. Okay, let's see here.
Okay. Well, on the topic of luchadors, we'll start right away with one. In this week, May 13th, 1987, Ultimo Dragon made his debut in Japan, if I remember right.
In my opinion, one of the greatest of all. I mean, that man, just the image of seeing him with those mega belts all over him was enough. But watching that man perform in the ring, I don't know. For me, he was just the stuff, man.
Yep.
Ashley, you certainly have to have a warm place in your heart for the Ultimo Dragon, right?
Yes, he was a great wrestler, you know, and his son, I think that's his son, Dragon Kid, and Dragon Gate, you know, does the same thing. If that is his dad, same thing as his dad. So, you know, both amazing talents. I wish Ultimo Dragon would come back, you know, do one thing like the Legends did with Heath Slater. You know, I wish he would have took part in that. I think he would have done. He still got it. So, you know, I wish he would have came back in. Maybe gave an SI DDT to Heath Slater, so.
That would have been pretty sweet.
That would have been sweet.
Oh, yeah, Mojo, Dragon Kid, it was one of his first-term kids in Toramon, one of Ultimo Dragon's students.
Ah.
He protege.
So not actual relation.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And with that, you know, definitely agree.
Okay, what else do we have for back in time, people? What else happened this week in the past?
Well, here's an interesting one. Tag team wrestling has not always been accepted. Up until...
Really?
Right. May 11th, 1953, the New York Athletic State Commission lifted a state ban on tag team wrestling.
And what was the reasoning behind that decision?
I looked that up, actually. And
it's nice
I
to see Blitz did his homework.
Right. I was not able to find out why.
Well, something must have happened to prompt such a response. I mean, why would they ban tag team wrestling out of nowhere for no reason? I mean, something had to have happened to, you know, set them off. Bo, do you know anything about this?
I know, doing my research, you know, looking at the, you know, like results of the olden days back when, like in the 1800s and early 1900s, you know, I can see, you know, why they banned it in the first place. You know, it was being exceptionally violent in terms of what they, I mean, yeah, it was catch as catch can and all that. But as to why it was actually banned in the first place is off the top of my head eluding me.
I mean, why would that be any worse than just singles wrestling? Why wouldn't they just ban the whole thing if it was getting too violent? So, I don't know. By then, it was starting to be show business in the early 50s anyway, right?
Yep. By the 50s, it was, you know, what we know it is now. I mean, not as flashy as, you know, as it is. But, man, I am actually...
There must have been an incident in New York or something that prompted this. Let's see if we can keep digging in. Maybe next week we can enlighten everybody on what the reasoning behind the Athletic Commission's decision was. What else happened this week in history?
If I may add, Blitz, I think it was Blitz earlier that mentioned the NFL, or the XFL, surprisingly enough, May 10th, it closed down, XFL. So,
very good. Very good, Ashley. You got one in. So May 10th, it closed shop. It didn't even last a season, which was shocking because initially it came out of the gate very strongly, and then it seemed to lose luster pretty quickly when they started interviewing coaches and everything seemed so scripted and everything. I think that's when people lost interest in it. Do you remember it, Bo and Blitz? And Ashley, do you remember the league?
I actually do remember it. I think I only watched one episode, and then I was like, it's over.
See, you're calling it an episode instead of a football game.
Yes.
So that already says right away what your thoughts about it were.
Ugh.
Blitz and Bo, do you guys remember the games? Did you watch them or anything of the sort?
I vaguely remember them. I think I'm with the majority of the group. I only watched maybe one game, and that was it. But that was, you know, was at a, you know, different time, you know, time frame or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't watch it because I was, you know, what, 12? Something like that.
Well, what's that got to do with anything? I tell you what, a PWO member for the Pro Wrestling Obsession Facebook page, Zane Paisley. I remember when we used to sit back in his apartment and we'd have the gang all over. We would be watching Raw, Nitro, especially the time when the takeover was announced. But he was really big into the XFL, and I think I remember the team as the Chicago Blitz. But he had season tickets to them, and he'd go up to Chicago every week. And we're from Indianapolis area. He would go up to see the Blitz every time they play, and he had all this memorabilia and stuff from the Blitz and his season tickets and all that fun stuff. So he was big into it. So maybe we'll have to get his opinions on the XFL here one of these days. What else happened, gents?
Let's see.
Also, if I may say, May 6, 2002, WWF went bye-bye, and, you know, their logo, get the F out of here, and they became WWE.
Very good. Is she stealing your thunder, guys, or?
I think we covered that one last week, actually.
I think we got that one last week.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Ashley, it's got to be the week that we're on. Now, come on. If you're going to do this, Ashley, you must be professional. Okay, you have to do your homework and do the proper homework, do the proper research, and get your dates down correctly, because unprofessionalism on this show, well, you know.
Unprofessionalism? Look at the one talking about it.
So, what else do we have?
Okay. One for the Blitz. And here, May 14th, 1955, the Mastodon from Denver, Big Van Vader was born.
Sweet. If you guys noticed, I posted for the life of me, I can't remember which promotion it was now, but Vader's making an appearance in California somewhere, so check the page if you're big Vader fans like Blitz is. Blitz is a huge Vader fan. He's right there front and center on that promo, so check him out, see when he's going to be in California, and take a peek at Vader while you have an opportunity to do so. Well,
yep.
Okay, we have May 14th, 1990. It was a tag team match featuring Tiger Mask 2 and Toshiaki Kawada. Tiger Mask 2 demanded that Kawada unmask him, revealing it to be Japanese, soon to be Japanese legend, Hiromu Masawa.
Hmm, that was this week, huh?
R.I.P. Masawa-san.
You know, I think that's what I'm going to do next week for the Get Blitz, John. I'm going to have it all luchador Japanese questions.
Then yes.
You could be in serious trouble, by the way, Sean.
That'd be fine.
You'd be screwed, wouldn't you, bro? That'd be fun just to hear that, wouldn't it, Bo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. You know, I'm the prophet. You never know what I come up with for this stuff. So what else we got for Back in Time?
Okay, May 13th, 2000, Japanese legend Jumbo Tsuruta, I think I pronounced that right, had passed away on that date. I believe he was in the ring, if I am not mistaken.
Now, say that again. I'm kind of hearing some talking over each other. What happened now?
Jumbo's...
Okay.
It's Tsuruta, isn't it?
Is it?
Ashley?
Yes, what was that?
It's Jumbo Tsuruta, right?
Yes, I do believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my apologies.
That's okay, Bill.
My bad.
No, I was wrong. I thought he had passed away in the ring, but he didn't. Died of complications of a kidney transplant due to kidney cancer.
And what year was this?
2000.
Wow, has he been gone that long? Wow. I tell you what, he is a big overlooked wrestler from the 80s. People just don't realize how huge Tsuruta was in Japan during the 80s. And when we talk about all the legends of wrestling that have come out of the 1980s, you know, the Hogans and the Misawas and the Flairs and people like that, people don't talk about Jumbo, and I don't know why. Because if you looked on the... You know, in all the magazines and the ratings and stuff like that, his name was all over the place. He was just big, big-time news. What's your thoughts on him, Ashley? You're like I've told everybody here, you're very big and prominent on the Mexican scene and on the Japanese scene. So what's your take on Tsuruta and his legend and what he brought to the table for Japan wrestling?
He's faced a lot of the American guys, you know, Terry Funk, Abdullah, Bruiser Brody, God rest his soul, Masawa-san, God rest his soul, Ric Flair, you know. I guess you can say he kind of put those guys over in a way. So, and he was also trained by Dory Funk and Lupez. So, you know he was a very good class act in the ring. I was kind of saddened by the fact that he passed away, like, at an early age. He was going to turn 50, you know, mm-hmm. So it was very sad for me to hear that he passed away. I actually saw one of his matches, quite a character. I put him in the tops of Giant Baba, you know, guys like that. He's just a legend, you know, and I wish a lot of these young wrestlers that are wrestling would actually look at classic matches from guys like Jumbo and Masawa-san and Genichiro Tenryu, you know, all those Japanese guys, because that's, in my opinion, that's how you wrestle. Not stiff style like that, but they could sell when it needed to be done. You know, they kicked out finishers, but they didn't do it like how, I don't know if you guys saw WrestleMania, but they didn't do it how like The Rock and John Cena did, you know, finisher, kick out, another finisher,
right.
Kick out, you know. I think that's what you guys need to look at nowadays. So.
The thing that bothers me, I think, about people like Suratah was, you know, I was growing up in wrestling during that time. I mean, I saw this stuff as it was going on, and I know how big he was and how his name was out there, but it seems like he's one of those guys that as time has progressed, he's getting forgotten about, at least in our side of the pond. It's very disappointing to me that people who don't, you know, learn about the history and go back and read or watch matches of things that have gone on in the past, and you can't allow somebody like Jumbo Suratah to be forgotten. You can't. It's criminal. What else we got, gents?
We came up with quite a bit of stuff, actually.
Yes, and you still have more, or are we finished?
Yes, according to Bo here, this was his. May 11th, 1997, wrestlers from Ultimo Dragon School debuted, made their pro debuts, including Sima, C-I-M-A, Suwa, S-U-W-A, Don Fuji, and Tokyo Magnum.
Tokyo Magnum, he had some WCW exposure.
Actually,
Sima.
So did Sima once.
Did he? I don't remember Sima getting any time over there, did he?
He actually had a match with Halloween. That was the only match I saw from him in WCW.
Okay, well, I missed that one then.
I want to say all the Toriumon first-term graduates got some exposure in WCW. Maybe it was just one... one match or whatever, but
I remember Don Fuji. I just don't remember where I saw him at. Okay. What else we got?
Well,
these guys are shuffling papers and trying to figure out what they want to talk about next. 760-888-5749. If you want to join in the topics, join in the conversation. Interact with Pro Wrestling Obsession Live, by all means, give us a call. 760-888-5749. Big Crush Barrington Hughes hopefully will be joining us very soon. All right, what do you got?
Okay, May 12th, 1995, WWE, then the WWF, hosted the Kuwait Cup Tournament.
What year was this?
1995.
Good grief, it's been that long already. Wow.
Stop showing your age. Stop it.
And what was the highlights of the show? Do we have any memories of this?
Hang on.
I was two,
here
I
we
know.
Go.
I was seven.
In, let's see. In the finals of this Kuwaiti Cup tournament, was Ahmed Johnson and Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Hunter Hearst who?
Triple H was wrestling back then? What?
Oh, absolutely. He was in WCW before that.
Yep.
Miss
man,
Ashley.
Wow.
He was terrorizing before he was there. And then John Paul Levesque before he even entered the WWF.
Man.
Yep. And Mr. Helmsley got whooped.
My big Ahmed, huh?
Yep.
So
what else we got?
Or
what else we got for our back in time? You guys got a lot. You guys really did your homework this week. I'm impressed. The prophet has taught you well. Maybe I have to go back to my professor days.
Uh-huh. Okay, May 9th, 1975, in the first ever WWF title in Japan, Bruno Sammartino put his title against Giant Baba's PWF title, and they fought to a no contest.
What year was that again, Blitz?
1975.
Five, okay. And where was it held at, do we know?
It was in Tokyo. I've been trying to find the match, actually.
Just had to do it. I'm sorry.
I was wondering. I was like, wait, did they hang up? What happened?
All right, Blitz. What was it again now?
It was in Tokyo. I'm still...
Oh, no!
I'm going to break your button.
Oh, I love being host. Continue, Blitz.
And,
I'm sorry.
And here's a... And here's a little bit of information. This was not the first time Bruno Sammartino and Giant Baba had it out.
This is true.
They had it out in 1967, 1968.
Yes.
They wrestled in New York, didn't they, Sean?
I'm saying 1963. Let's see,
that's even before my time, guys.
Yeah.
That's even before my time. I wasn't even around
yep.
then.
Let's see, 1967 was in JWA.
1963 was in Madison Square Garden.
No, I knew it. I knew they had a match in Madison Square Garden, darn it. All right, what else happened in this week in our wrestling history that we can educate our minions? Are we doing this all on the fly, or do we actually have this prepared? Or
we have preparation.
Let's don't all speak at the same time now. Bo?
I have something, actually.
All right.
But this is on the lines of Caseo Mundial de Lucha Libre, CMLL. On May 16th, 2010, you guys know S.A. Rios. He actually formed a trio with Psychosis Number 2. Yes, not the original Psychosis, but Psychosis Number 2. And they formed a group called Los Invasors, which is pretty much the Invasion. And it also saw legends like Rayo de Jalisco Jr. Hector Garza was actually part of the team first before he became a face.
Hector Garza, I haven't heard that name for a while.
Also, another good wrestler, one of the best in the world, in my opinion, Volador, he's also on the team now. It was a lot of people, you know, and they're still kicking butt in CML. So.
Sweet. One more, guys, and then we're going to wrap this segment up and move on to talking about TNA.
Do we have to?
Yes, we do.
Split.
Bo, anything else do we have, or are we finished, or do we have more?
We'll make one last note here. May 10th, 1995. I'm going to butcher his name, but Ilio Di Paolo, passed away at the ripe old age of, almost 80. Like 79, 80, somewhere around there.
Yep. Who is he now?
Ilio Di Paolo. See if I can't find a pronunciation here. This is way before your time there, Prophet. Wrestled back in the 1950s and 1960s.
Alrighty then.
Way.
That one I'm unfamiliar with. So, all right, let's segue into TNA wrestling talk. What topic shall we begin in TNA, Blitz Forrester?
Okay. Aces and Eights, and why? And the return of Abyss.
Okay. What's your question?
Last night.
No, I haven't seen last night's show. Daggone it.
Sorry.
That's all right. That's my fault. I should have watched this by now. Coming into the
just
show,
done your
I didn't
homework.
Have time to do so. I have
just
new
done your homework.
No, hang on. I have new television arrangements now, so I don't get to see things as they happen anymore. So, my apologies. It's my fault. So, proceed. I opened the can of worms, so proceed.
Okay. So Abyss returned and completely cleaned house on Aces and Eights.
Okay.
Which was a surprise. I thought we wouldn't see the Abyss character again with the whole Joseph Park fiasco.
This is where I think you're wrong, because I've been calling this for I don't know how long. I've been calling for this, that we're going to start seeing kind of the two sides of Joseph Park / Abyss, where he's going to keep going back and forth. The alter ego type of thing. I don't know if they'll finally end up revealing that they're not really brothers, that they're actually one and the same, which we know they are, because it's going to be pretty hard to pull off them both being needing to be in the same place at the same time.
So are they
kind of
going to do this like, sorry for interrupting, are they kind of going to do this for like, you guys remember Suicide? So
yep.
Are they going to, is it going to kind of be like the same thing that they did with them, or what do you guys think?
I don't know. It's going to be a split personality type thing is the way I'm seeing it. I don't, to be honest with you, Ash, I don't remember the Suicide thing very much. You'll have to tell me about it. But I see a split personality thing where whenever it's going to be like the Bruce Banner Incredible Hulk type situation. You know, you're going
right.
to have mild-mannered Joseph Park, and whenever they really tick the man off, he's going to turn into Abyss and do what he did.
Right.
So,
I mean, I saw a teasing of this before they kind of dropped it, and, you know, didn't he, like, bust it open a few months ago, like a pay-per-view or something, and pulled out the Black Hole Slam?
Right.
I can't remember who teased that. But, I mean, they were kind of teasing that a little bit, and then they just kind of dropped it off, you know, the edge of a cliff, and I guess they fished it back out again.
I think they're doing this intentionally, Bo. I think they're trying to give little hints and then back off and let you forget about it again and then keep bringing something out again. It's almost like little teases type thing. That's what my feelings on it are.
And don't get me wrong. I'm all for, you know, a tease like that, but with something as obvious as Abyss and Joseph, it's not the best execution.
I'm not so sure it's that obvious, though, Bo. I mean, yes, the diehards like ourselves knew. But I honestly believe that the majority of casual wrestlers to this day have no idea. Wrestling fans, I should say, have no idea that they're the same person. They don't look remotely alike, I guess, when you see them in that context. Is hair done up the way it is? You know, without the mask, without the missing teeth, you know, stuff like that, they don't look, you know, 100% like they're the same person. They do look like they could be brothers. And when he first came on the scene and started looking for Abyss, even I didn't know who he was for the first 5 minutes, so I finally figured out, oh, die now, I know, I'm not ding, ding, ding. You know, the bell didn't, the light didn't go off in the head there for a while, and it took me a minute to figure it out. But, I don't know, I just see this split personality thing coming. Holding out for my buddy, Big Crush, Barrington Hughes. Like I said, he does have a match tonight. Hopefully he will be joining us soon. Until then, we're talking TNA Wrestling. If anybody wants to interact with us and give us your opinion, 760-888-5749. What else have we got for TNA? Let's
okay,
not all jump at the same time.
I got a good question for you.
All right.
Again, this is from this is last night's Impact. Sorry.
Okay, thanks, Blitz. You're doing this on purpose.
No, it is a good question. Where was Matt Morgan?
I didn't see the show, so I don't know where Matt Morgan was. I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, quite simply, last week, my simple question was, where was Matt Morgan with this whole thing of him being wanting to be the star?
Oh, he wasn't even on the show at all?
Nope.
Oh, really?
And that...
I would have figured he would have come back and attacked Sting or something like that for last week, beating him in the match.
But apparently not.
Some of their decisions in TNA, I mean, like I said, for those who know me, know I like TNA, and I've always liked them over WWE's product. Just the execution isn't always there. And understanding the rationale of the decisions that they make leaves people scratching their heads often. Getting better, but they're not going to compete with WWE if they... don't up it several notches. Let's talk about the X Division again, shall we?
All right.
Now I have a question for this one.
That's what I thought. That's what I was prompting to. That's why I'm the prophet.
Do you guys ever think they'll bring back, I don't know if you guys watched TNA back in the pay-per-view days, but do you guys think they'll ever bring back the World X Cup or the Super X Cup?
I hope, I hope it happens. Because that was some great action.
I don't think it's going to happen. And the reason I don't think it's going to happen is because that is reminiscent of old school wrestling. Reminiscent of the old way of doing things, the NWA way of doing things, tournaments and cups and stuff like that. Modern wrestling wants no part of that, and they've obviously gone in a different direction since then. I mean, Hogan's there, the Bish is there, you know. It's as much as I would love to see that, I don't foresee it.
Well,
I think in...
Hang on a second, Bo. Hang on a second. Can you for just a quick moment, please? Now, do you guys have your act together yet?
No.
Jeez Louise. All right, please continue.
I mean, yeah, it would be nice to see the whole, X Division, the Super X and the World X Cup and whatever, but I really don't see us getting that far anymore. Or in terms of, getting the amount of talent needed in order to get that. To get a solid X Cup together. I mean, if I remember the last one, they scrambled together to find a fourth team. I think it was Team International. I could be wrong. There could be another one after the one I'm thinking of.
I think they did do that one for Team International, to be completely honest.
All right, what's next? We're still talking TNA. What's next? Are we done talking about the X Division, or is there, we never even really got to talk about other things? I mean, we discussed last week a little bit about the situation where we have the challengers in the ring, the three people in the same time type thing. Ashley, what do you think? Because we've heard from Bo and Blitz and myself last week. What do you think about this new number one contender, the way they're doing things and getting three people wrestling for the title and stuff like that?
It's kind of one of those things where it sounded awesome on paper, but when you actually put in the product, you're like, maybe it should have stayed on paper.
Why do you feel that way?
Triple having a three-man, you know, thing for the X Division is good, but after time, it's going to get old eventually if it's the same concept over and over again. Like, the X Division for me, what got me to see the X Division was the fact that it was, whether it was one-on-one, three-man, four-man, you know, it was just a lot of action, you know. It kept you out of your seat, and I think that's what they're doing right now. But like I said, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, it's gonna stop working. I think that's the definition of insanity. So it's we'll see how it goes, but I'm still kind of iffy on it, but that's just my opinion.
I think it's pretty much the same stance that the rest of us took last week. I mean, it's nice to see that they're actually trying to do something with the X Division and these false starts, you know, that they keep doing with the X Division. We think, you know, wow, they're finally bringing it back. They're finally going to do something with it. They're finally going to promote it. They're bringing in all this great talent. You know, it's nice to see Petey Williams back and, you know, some of the other names that they've been bringing back in again, but Chris Sabin, I guess, let's go there. What did you guys think about Chris Sabin's reappearance?
Welcome back, Hail Sabin.
Bo?
Honestly, I haven't watched, I mean, I've, you know, been like following results whenever, but I haven't actually watched TNA in quite some time. And
oh, okay.
It's nice to see him back and all that.
Blitz Forrester.
I'm not going to lie. I'm glad to see Sabin back. And
now, hold
I'm glad
on. Hang on a second.
All right.
We appreciate sincerely that you don't want to lie. Because we pride ourselves at PWO as being honest. Forthright. So do tell us the truth, Sean, please.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm very glad Sabin's back. I'm very glad that he, unlike a certain other wrestler with previous knee injuries, Sabin is working a more grounded style, which makes me very happy because a more grounded style, less chance of tweaking your knee on some huge spot.
Who are you referring to, Rey Mysterio?
You know me so well.
I was about to say, he's probably thinking Rey Mysterio because that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Is it me, guys, or does Chris Sabin look like a younger David Lee Roth? You just look at him in the face. He looks like David Lee Roth a little bit. Now that the hair is getting longer, and I just said, oh, David Lee Roth's wrestling tonight. Interesting. Do you see it?
A little bit.
Okay. You have to pay attention a little bit more. He's got that look. Oh, well. Anyway, I was impressed. He seemed like he was, you know, back on top of his game again. Obviously, he's got a little ring rust, but, you know, give him some time. I think he's going to be an excellent addition back to the X Division again.
Yep.
Oh, let me ask you guys this. New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but Sean, I know you're familiar, but, you know, TNA had a contract with NJPW at one point in time. Now,
right.
Speaking of this three-man X Division, you know, wishful thinking, I hope one day, do you see guys from NJPW, you know, wrestling in the three-man matches as well for the X Division title?
My personal bias is yes. I'd like to see that. I did a piece a while back on how a New Japan Pro Wrestling appearance on TNA would be big. Because the New Japan owner flat out said he wants to compete with WWE. To do that, you need a base in American television.
Right.
However, I worry that seeing TNA's roster situation is so messed up that to keep some of these guys in contention, you'd need to sign them, and I don't trust TNA to utilize the wrestlers.
Right.
That's my one reservation about that.
And I absolutely agree with you on that one. Jushin Liger, perfect example. The guy can kick butt in a TNA ring, but the way TNA was set up, you know, he didn't do his best as to contrast what he would normally do in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Uh-huh.
It's like I said earlier, guys, I think we're in a different world with TNA. Ever since we entered the Hogan-Bischoff era, things have changed. I mean, the talent exchanging, the six-sided rings, I mean, all the stuff that made TNA unique is gone. I mean, they're trying to emulate the WWE and failing, I might add, instead of building upon the things that have made them unique and made them different from the WWE and made fans want to watch them in the first place. They didn't want to watch TNA wrestling to see another WWE. They want an alternative.
Right.
I mean, they want an alternative to that stuff. I mean, that's why ROH is so popular. That's why ECW was so popular back in the day, because it was an alternative to WCW and WWF at the time, and people wanted something different. This is where they're making a horrific mistake, is not capitalizing on the X Division and making something out of it, because this is their calling card, and they've blown it ever since the Bischoff and Hogan showed up. I know Bischoff's been blabbing and shooting off of the mouth how he wants to make the X Division great and grand again, but I don't know. Maybe this is at least a little step finally, but the days, Ashley, that you said are gone.
Yes.
Prophet, if I ever shop up in this area, I'll ask him that question, see if I can't get a straight answer out of him.
Okay.
That's if I ever see him, you know.
Yeah, you gotta find him first. He's secluded somewhere, I'm sure.
He's like 5 miles away, so.
Is he only 5 miles away?
25.
Oh, 25? That's still pretty close.
Pretty close.
All right. Big Crush Barrington Hughes, where are you, sir? Somebody did try to call in a while ago when we were in the middle of a conversation. I couldn't get over quick enough, and we lost them. Hopefully that was not Barrington. We got 20 minutes left in the program. We're going to keep carrying it ourselves if he isn't able to join us. Anybody want to join us? 760-888-5749. You've got Sean the Blitz Forester. You've got the Bowmeister, Bo Johnson. You've got the Mojo, Ashley Farmer. And, of course, you've got the Prophet Rick Craig in the house. All right. Have we talked enough TNA, or do we still have a few more subjects we want to get off our chests?
I actually do have one. I'm quite frustrated with this one because TNA and Lucha Libre AAA, supposedly, according to Conan, they have a talent exchange contract. Now, I watch AAA every weekend on YouTube, and I see a lot of guys from TNA. Pope was on one of their main pay-per-views, Gunner, AJ Styles. But my question is, when will we ever see Lucha Libre AAA come in? Because I've asked Conan, yes, exactly. I've asked Conan numerous times on Twitter, you know, I said, hey, K-Dog, you know, a lot of people are wondering with this talent exchange with AAA and TNA, when are we going to see AAA, you know, because they got high flyers like Aerostar, Superfly. Well, pretty much everybody's a high flyer in one way or another, but the main guys that do all the crazy antics in the air, you know, when are we going to see them? And he said, you know, we're working on it. Let me remind you, this was like about a year ago. So now
right.
I'm starting to think, you know what, it's not going to happen.
Well, we remember, that was where Jeff Jarrett won the belt from, right?
Yes, he defeated a great wrestler, El Zorro, actually.
He defeated El Zorro
for the title. Yes.
So, yes, the TNA was definitely sending their wrestlers down south, but, you know, there was no mention or notion of seeing any of those guys in the TNA ring. So I don't know if it was a one-sided talent exchange, you know. I mean, who knows what the agreement was. I mean, we don't know, and I'm sure Conan's not going to tell you on Twitter what the arrangements were, but it could have been just an agreement that they would bring in TNA wrestlers down there just to get some exposure and get an American audience to watch. I don't know. Bo, what are you thinking?
If we haven't seen anything from AAA by now, then I just don't see it happening anytime soon. I haven't been following, you know, AAA as close as I'd like to, so I'm not sure. I'm not positive into if they're still using TNA talent or not recently. I have a feeling that's just not going to happen, especially with, you know, Hogan, you know, kind of looking over things.
What's your take, Forrester?
Depends on what you want my take on.
No, what's your take on what Ashley asked? Do you foresee
AAA?
Their wrestlers coming into TNA at all?
Honestly, I don't. And I think it's for the better. Before y'all jump me, I have good reasoning. Again, I don't trust TNA. I do not trust their creative staff. I do not trust the people in charge. I do not trust them to not make these talented wrestlers look like fools. Or should I say, not make them look like fools. I trust them to mess it up.
So I take it you're not in favor of it.
Right.
Okay. I did make mention today that it was Tito Santana's birthday, right?
Yes, she did, sir.
Yep.
He's a man.
Happy birthday to William Regal. It is his birthday as well today. What else we got for TNA peeps?
A stomach ache.
A stomach ache from TNA wrestling? We got about 15 minutes left in our show. Unfortunately, it's not looking like we're going to get Barrington tonight. He must have been working a little over, or hopefully he wasn't the one who tried to call in earlier and I couldn't get the call in time. 760-888-5749, Pro Wrestling Obsession Live. All right, Mojo, you're here. Bo,
yeah.
You've been calling for it as well. Now's your chance. We got about 15 minutes left in the program, like I said. We're going to go out of the bounds of WWE, we're going to go out of the bounds of TNA, and move on to other promotions throughout the world. We can talk about Ring of Honor. We can talk about Shikara. We can talk about Dragon Gate. We can talk about, you know, the Mexican promotions. We can talk about Japan. We can talk about the UK. We can talk about whatever you want. Bo, where would you like to begin?
I'd like to touch base on Shikara's Tag World Grand Prix. Yeah, excuse me. That's coming up next weekend. For those of you who don't know, Shikara, besides King of Trios, they also have ran a tag team tournament. In 2005, 2005 was the beginning of the Kings of Wrestling, more or less. I mean, where they really started. 2006 is where they were crowned the Campeonatos de Parejas. And so this year we have 16 teams. What looks to be a payout for the winning team will be the number one contenders for the tag titles.
And who has the tag titles currently?
Shikara's current champions are Scott Jagged Parker and Big Magic Shane Matthews.
Okay.
3.0.
And your question to this panel was what?
Who do you think is going to win? And I'll give you the teams here in a second.
Please do.
Okay. The teams include the Heartthrobs, Antonio Thomas and Romeo Roselli.
Wait, they're back together?
Yeah. They've actually been in Shikara a couple of times in 2012.
Oh, wow.
There's the Devastation Corporation, Blaster Big Massive, and Max Smashmaster. Essentially a modern-day version of Demolition, except I can never remember which one was which. But the taller one is really, really athletic. I mean, he can jump to the top.
Hey, Bo. Time's going to run out before you even get to the sixth team.
Okay. All right. Third team is ACDC, Eric Cannon and Darren Corbin. Fourth team is Los Ice Creams. Fifth team is the Baltic Siege, the Latvian Thunder Frog, the Latvian Oak and the Estonian Thunder Frog. Sixth team is Harlem and Lancelot Bravado. Seventh team is the Kentucky Buffet. Eighth team is Hollow Wicked and Frightmare. Ninth team is Heidi Lovelace and Saturine. Tenth team is The Soul Touches. 11th team is Zero Gravity. 12th team is Jigsaw and the Shard. 13th team, the Young Bucks. 14th team, the Colony Extreme Force, Arctic Rescue Ant, and Deviant. 15th team, the Batiri. And 16th team is Fire Ant and Green Ant.
And they've already got two seeding matches announced.
That's right.
And your question is, who's going to win this tournament?
Yeah.
Well, I think Blitz and myself are not going to pretend to be experts on this, right, John?
Actually, thanks to Bo, I followed it a little bit more closely.
Okay.
And I'm personally liking Pieces of Fate guarding the Jigsaw to win it.
What are you thinking, Mojo?
So, out of all the teams he named, I have about three of them that I think might actually win. Young Bucks, which is an obvious choice. Zero
right.
Gravity. I love their style. Green Ant and his partner. I love the Ant Colony. And the Ice Cream, the Team Ice Cream. They're pretty legit, too. But I'm actually going with the Young Bucks for this one.
Oh.
And Bo, who are you thinking is going to win this one?
I kind of have to agree with Sean here. Pieces of Hate seem like a very strong contender. And in fact, if it's played out right, I don't know that full bracket yet, but I could possibly see Pieces of Hate in the Young Bucks in the finals if it's played out right.
You know what, that's funny because I was going to say the exact same thing. If those two teams would face off, depending on how the brackets are paired. But I've been making a big deal about Jigsaw joining up with Hate is H8, right? Is that how they spell that?
It's spelled out fully H-A-T-E.
Is it? Okay. I've seen it as H number 8 before too. So I'm not sure how they exactly do it then. But, yeah, that could be a very interesting tournament because you're right, the ant colonies have always been entertaining to watch. The Bucks, we know what they can do. We've seen them in TNA and ROH. That could be a tournament definitely to keep an eye on. What else do we want to talk about? Combat Zone, ROH, Dragon Gate.
Oh, yes. Ring of Honor.
Well, no, if you're going to do it properly.
Talk about ROH for a moment?
No, I said if you're going to do that, then you need to do it properly, Sean.
Do what properly?
Oh, no!
If you're going to say, oh, yes, you got to do it right.
Uh-huh. And
he's not finding humor in my sound clips, is he?
Yes. I'm amused. And it appears that Ring of Honor World Champion Jay Briscoe is a little bit...
Oh, involved. Boy. I was wondering if somebody was going to go there tonight. You're going
yes,
there, aren't you, Sean?
Yes, I am.
I go there.
No subject
is taboo on this show.
He made an anti-gay marriage tweet, which, in my opinion, was very rude. I don't have the text of it because it was deleted. But it was very rude. He deleted his account, and Ring of Honor had to issue an apology. Now, with my question to y'all is, with the Briscoe brothers being on WWE radar.
Who says they're on WWE's radar? Who said they were on WWE's radar?
At one point they were.
According to whom? I've not heard that they were ever on WWE's radar.
It was one of those, like I said, but you have to figure at this point that they are.
So this is another one of those blitzologies where Blitz is making assumptions because that's what he wants. Is that what we're getting at? Because when I talked to Nigel McGuinness a few weeks ago, he acted like they had zero interest in the Briscoes.
Well,
I asked him.
Well, if they didn't have zero before, they do now.
Right.
The question is, how did this tweet affect the career of Jay Briscoe and the Briscoe brothers, if it has an effect at all?
Well, let's get Bo Johnson's take on this question. What do you think, Bo?
The effect it had on, or it's going to have on Jay Briscoe's career, or in the Briscoes in general?
Yeah.
I don't see too big an effect. I mean, obviously they're wrestling against each other at their the next big pay-per-view, if I remember right. So it's not like they can drop it to someone else and, you know, kind of let it slide by dropping the title off of him because it's going to his brother. But, I mean, I've seen the tweets from ROH on their, on the situation, how he's, I think it, like the next couple of big events, he's giving all his pay to. Oh, I can't remember the group that he's giving it to. Off the top of my head.
Probably the Gay Lesbian Alliance, whatever. The Glad?
Not Glad, but some.
No, it wasn't Glad.
I mean, I find that to be, you know, he pretty much screwed up. And
yep.
He's, you know, he's making amends here. Amends.
Now, hang on. Is he making amends because he got caught? He got busted for it. I mean, is he making amends because ROH is making him make amends? Because he's told he has to make amends, or do you think they're honest intentions on his part?
I think a little bit of both.
Yep.
So that's a question that we'd have to ask Jay himself.
Correct. But Jay's not here, so we get the opinions of the Bowmeister and the Blitz, and tonight we get the Mojo. Ashley, what are you thinking?
I think he's probably doing this because of Ring of Honor, in my opinion. Example, Scorpio Sky. He had a shot in WWE, but he messed it up by gay bashing, quote unquote. So not only did he get released from his role as Harold, you know, but another company that, you know, has that stuff is Lucha Vaboom. He was also suspended from that company for a while as well. So, you know, even though he deleted the tweet, you know, people still saw it. So I think if they do, you know, try to go to WWE, they probably will look into that, you know, because it's the internet and not everything disappears from the internet. So they can go back and trace it, and then, you know, they won't even have a shot because he made a bashful tweet about it. So,
Bo, did you say Mark and Jay are going against each other? Because I had not heard that yet. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I want to say at, I can't remember the name of their next big iPay-per-view event.
Well, then my prediction is right now that Jay is going to lose it to his brother. And then the boys are going to feud. That's going to be my prediction. Because they're going to make him, I mean, good grief, you can't be the champion, the world champion of a promotion and go saying things like that without repercussions. And ROH is not content with their indie status. They want to be, you know, up the food chain a little bit. They're going to do something about it. Guys, we've got a little bit over a minute left in our show tonight. I'm sorry we missed Barrington. I have a funny feeling he was the one who called in, and I just didn't get to him quick enough. We were engaged in conversation. We probably lost Barrington during a TNA conversation. Yeah, so we got a minute left in our show tonight. I want to make sure I do something right here, because for those who aren't unaware of Ashley Farmer, Ashley, tell everybody what you do.
I work on the Pro Wrestling Obsessed live
no,
page
no,
on
no,
Facebook.
No, 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 no. What do you do in more importantly, in the real world? And say it very quickly.
Oh, that's right. I'm part of the United States Air Force.